Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We want to take this opportunity. Thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning and hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs and MP3 files. They're 30-minute videos, TV videos that have different subjects by subject matter, and a host of other Bible-related materials. We ask you to check it out. At the end of our broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We want nothing from you. We just want you to come with an open Bible and an open mind. Let us show you the need for God in your life. You have a relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ. Today, we're going to talk about a brief introduction to the Bible itself. The word that appears in the Bible began with God. They are God-breathed. The Bible is a God-breathed book. That means it's inspired. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. God gave these words to the Holy Spirit, according to John 14, verse 26, and the Holy Spirit would guide the apostles and the inspired writers unto all truth, John 16, 13, who in turn delivered them to holy men of God, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, and then they were revealed to us. These inspired men recorded God's message for us to read that we may understand and know what the will of God is for us in our lives. What is the purpose of the Bible? The Bible, when read, studied, and applied, keeps us from sin. Psalm 119, verse 11 says that the psalmist said he hid the word of God in his heart so he might not sin. According to Psalm 119, 105, it lights our way. It gives us direction. It enlightens or educates us, according to 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, and tells us how we ought to act in the house of God. It also instructs us and teaches us. It equips us to every good work, according to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 17. It purifies us, according to 1 Peter 1, verse 22, when we obey it. It also frees us from the burden and the condemnation of sin, according to John 8, verse 32, where it says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." We also have John 17, 17, that says, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." According to James 1, verse 21, that grafted word can also save us. God's word has power to illuminate the way to truth. Psalms 119, verse 130, to create faith in a man. That's what the Gospel of John was written about, so that we might believe that he is the Christ, that he is the Messiah, and believing that we might have life in his name, John 20, verse 30 and 31. It is also written to quicken and make us alive spiritually, Psalm 119, verse 154, to convert us from sin, in Psalms 19 and verse 7, and it can make us clean, according to the words of Jesus himself in John 15, verse 3, and it is food for the soul in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, that we might grow thereby. And so that is its purpose. What is its completeness? Since the Bible contains all the truth that we read earlier in John 16, 13, and all things that pertain to life and godliness have been given to us, 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, and the whole counsel of God is revealed through the scripture, Acts 20, verse 27, we need nothing else. Therefore, we will not listen to latter-day revelations that came too late to be part of God's word. From the time of the completion of the Bible, man has had everything he needed to guide his life in such a way that it might be pleasing, acceptable to God, and that it might guide him through life in order to lead him to eternal life. It also is a book that is indestructible. God's written word is so powerful, it can never be destroyed. Men have tried, and they have failed. The Bible has been burned, it has been torn, it has been slandered. It has been mistaught, it has been misread, and it has been twisted and perverted. But God still speaks through it. Jesus said while he was on the earth, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Matthew chapter 24 and 25. And Peter told us in 1 Peter 1 verse 25 that it will endure forever. The words of Christ must stand forever. Why? Because they are the words that we will be judged by. They are the standard by which all men will be judged, according to the word of Jesus himself in John 12 verse 48. In the Bible, it also gives us warnings. The Bible warns us not to add nor to subtract from the word of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, they were not to add nor diminish to the word of the law. We also read in Proverbs 30 and verse number 6. The scripture says, "Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you, and you be found a liar." We also read in Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19, that we are not to add, nor are we to subtract from the word of God. Now, I understand, and you do too as a Bible student, that in the context of Revelation chapter 22, this is talking about the book of Revelation, because God knew that men would add and subtract from that book. But the principle is taught throughout the Bible. It says, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book of prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book." And so that principle has been consistent throughout the pages of God's word. We are not to add, we are not to subtract. We're not to substitute human ideals for divine concepts and divine principles. In Matthew chapter 15, 8 and 9, the Lord rebuked the Jews at the time because they taught as doctrine the commandments of men. To preach and teach only God's word is what we are commanded to do in the scripture. Preach the word in season and out of season. Preach the word, 2 Timothy 2, 4, verse 2. We are to speak as the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4, verse 11. And we are to believe no other gospel. Even if an angel came to us and told us that he had a new revelation, we have to reject it. Listen to the words of Paul in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. "But even if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say we now again. If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed." We are not to accept any other message than the message of truth. If we do, we will have problems with God. There is only one revelation from God. There is only one book that bears divine inspiration, and that book is the Bible. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, there are four references to God speaking through the scriptures. In verse 2, it is recorded, "For he saith," which is followed by a quote of Isaiah 49 and 8. And then verse 16 says, "Just as God said," which prefaces a quote from Exodus 29 and verse 45. Again in verse 17, it quotes Isaiah 52 and verse 11 as God's word. And and finally, verse 18, that says, "Thus saith the Lord Almighty," following many Old Testament statements of God, such as Isaiah 43 and verse 6. God speaks not in a small, still voice. He never did. He never will. Today, he speaks not in a booming trumpet sound. Rather, he speaks through his Son. In Hebrews chapter 1, in the very first chapter of the Hebrew letter, in verse 1 and 2, the scriptures say, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he spoke to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. The only spokesperson for God is his Son, and his words are found in the Bible and nowhere else. Today, God speaks in and through his written word, recorded by men as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. We read this in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 21. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 21. A very simple passage of scripture. It tells us that for the prophecy never came by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guided them along. It gave them the words and the ideals to put into words and put into the scripture so we might know the mind of God. We see that in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 13, the Bible tells us that the Spirit revealed the mind of God. You know what? You can look out of your window, or you could go out in your yard, and you could see the sky, you could see the clouds, you could see the beautiful landscape. You could go all over the world and see the beauty and the grandeur and the order of the universe, and you can know there's a God, but just knowing a God, there's a God, is not enough. The creation is not going to tell you how to please him. The creation is not going to tell you how to worship him. The creation is not going to tell you how to become a member of his church, or how to identify his church, or how that church is to worship, or how that church is to be organized, or what is the work of that church, and how was the church, when was the church started, and how do you identify what is the true church that belongs to the Lord. All those things are revealed in the Bible. In the Bible, you have the answer to all of those questions. And if there's something that God did not reveal, if there's something that God did not tell us, then we need not worry about it. In Deuteronomy 29:29, the Bible says the secret things belong to God. There are things that God did not reveal to us because he chose not to, because we didn't need to know. I'll give you just two examples. He never told us when we would die. He did tell us we would die, but he never told us when we would die. We will die once, and then we will face the judgment. Hebrews 9:27, but he did not tell us when. He also did not tell us when he's coming back. He did not tell us when he's coming back in the final resurrection, or to judge the world, or to redeem the saved and to send the sinner to a devil's hell. He didn't tell us when. He told us he would. He told us that it will happen, but he just did not tell us when. Why? Because it's in his infinite wisdom not to do that. And again, we must let that be. We must accept that. And so the Bible is the only thing that speaks for God. If a man wants to know how to please God, if he wants to know how to get in Christ, if he wants to know what to do once he's in there, and he wants to know how to live his life in an acceptable manner before God, he's going to have to look at the book that bears the inspiration words of God himself. And that book is the Bible. Have you read it? Have you studied it? But most importantly, have you obeyed it and put it into practice in your life? We encourage you to do that. That is the way to gain eternal life. Thank you.